talking roofing this morning. You know, when we started this show 30-some years ago, everybody said it should be Rosie on the Roof. I said, well, then we would just be talking about roofs all the time. Let's call it Rosie on the House. But today we are talking roofs, and we're talking roofs with our trusted expert, Rosie Certified Johnson Roofing, Mr. Tyler Johnson. Again, thanks for taking time out of your day to join us and help educate the Arizona homeowner about the all importance of that roof over their head.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
At the bottom of the hour break, we were just kind of getting into that flat roof component. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the shingles. We've talked about the tile. We've talked about the necessary, the underlayment, the difference between water shedding and waterproof. I'm convinced, Tyler, I've been around long enough. When I was a carpenter in a nail belt, slamming up at walls at 4:30 in the morning in July and August in the middle of the summer, with all those builders that just blew through town that said, well, we could just put a flat roof because it never rained in Arizona. And I can't tell you how many homes I've remodeled that were truly flat roofs. Truly flat roofs. With the thought that, well, it won't pond up there. It's got to go somewhere. Eventually, it'll find its way to the eave and drip off. But boy, the products, the building industry have tried to make work up on a flat roof. I mean, go through the history of what there's been.
Wow. That's a really wide open question.
Oh, gosh. Let's start with the built-up roll down.
Start with the built-up roll down. Just basically go down, dig up some old dinosaurs and put them in a kettle, heat them up real hot, throw some reinforcing in them and call it a roof that lasts forever. Yeah. That's a great product.
And if you're in an upgraded neighborhood, we're going to throw some white rocks on top of it.
Hey, you get white rocks, you get different size rocks. That's pretty much gone away. It's a dangerous product. You just saw so many roofers being, you know, carrying those hot buckets, 180, 190, 200 degree tar buckets of tar up ladders. You know, anybody that did it has scars from those burns.
Oh, man. So
it's been about probably 15 to 20 years before anybody has seriously put a whole lot of that type of product up there. There's no manufacturer's warranty on it. It's a great product that just.
Well, I bet you that made recruiting easier for the roofing industry.
Oh, yeah.
To get rid of the hot tar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, now you're going to be on the roof. Now you're going to be on the roof and it'll just be 120. We're not going to be on the roof and have it 170 anymore.
Well, that's what happened is after they got rid of the hot tar, they went over to the torch down. Hey, let's not carry the hot tar up. Let's make it molten on top of the roof.
So we came out with these rolls,
right?
That were self-adhesive when heat's applied. So describe that the torch down method.
Well, the torch down, if you're doing it right, you put down some sort of a protection for the plywood. You take a propane torch that shoots out about 6,000 BTUs, and you just burn the roll till it turns to liquid asphalt and it sticks down. And that one was a hard one to do. That's actually what I started doing when I first started roofing back in 98.
Wow.
Was torch down roofs. And, you know, one time I had a thermostat on the back of my hard hat. I worked myself into a corner, you know, torching it up, pulled that hard hat off, wiped my helmet, looked at it, and I was like, 145 degrees.
Oh, man.
I'm done. Yeah. I'm done.
Can't we outlaw this roof product?
It's pretty much.
And then it seems like to me, foam kind of made its first appearance. I want to say that was early 80s.
Oh, they've been doing it for years and years. We started using it here in Arizona. I'd say mid-80s.
Okay.
And foam is an excellent product. If it's maintained, there's a much higher maintenance on a foam. It's impervious to everything except for sunlight, which, as everybody knows in Arizona, that's the one thing we have a lot of. So that's why you see that foam is white instead of yellow, because that white coating it's not a sealer. It's just a really, really, really good suntan lotion. And that's what you're replacing every 5 years.
And that's that elastomeric paint coating. And I tell people when you're building from new, I mean, we've gone through the history of that with our stucco territorial walls and parapets. Well, first thing we did was we'd foam up the cant strip, go up 8, 9, 10, 12 inches, then foam down over the top of that, put a drip edge down there, lath it, double wrap the top of the parapet and call it good and stucco it. Then we quit doing the drip screed and we just said, look, we're going to let you stucco guys come in first. Don't put a drip edge there. File down to a casing bead. It's 3/8 of an inch thick. We're going to foam right over the top of you, and we're going to take the elastomeric right over the top of the parapet. So if a bird's flying over and they're looking down at your house, your roof, all they can see is elastomeric coating.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried several different varieties.
And the problem with elastomeric that people don't realize is it's not waterproofing. I mean, on the label, if you look deep enough, it's got a level of permeability that is designed. It is built knowing that water will go through it. It was never designed to be a waterproofing. And that's why a lot of these stucco walls, you wrap, oh, we'll just put coatings on top of them.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it leaks. And why? Well, it's just going right through it.
Roofing. That we don't really need in Arizona because it never rains here.
There you go.
All right, let's get back to our article of the week. We've kind of spent the hour this morning kind of educating everybody about everything that's out there that's available by roofing. But this week in particular, we're talking and we're focusing on maintaining your roof. And we talk a lot about maintaining that tile roof.
The main purpose of tile, from a functionality standpoint, forget the whole cosmetics and everything else, but the main purpose is to protect the paper that's up there. So if you have one piece of concrete tile that breaks, it cracks. I mean, the expansion, contraction, there's a million things that could cause it to break. If it breaks, now all of a sudden you've got the sun beating down on this paper. This 40-pound double underlayment, whatever you have up there, it's designed to withstand 60 days, maybe 90 days of UV degradation of weathering. Once you hit 90 days, you've compromised that system. Now imagine that you let it go for 2 or 3 years. You never saw the broken tile. Guess what happens?
There it is.
There's $2,000, $3,000 worth of leaks, plus your interior damage, plus everything else that goes along with it.
I wouldn't be in the roofing business without a drone.
Yeah.
One, because I can't walk on tile without breaking them. But how would a homeowner assess a blind tile or a ghost tile that they can't see behind a cripple or a blind valley? I mean, how do you assess those?
You can do preventative or you can do reactive. Preventative is you have somebody out there doing maintenance on your roof. We've got packages where we'll go out once a year and just look it over, replace broken tile, do what needed. You could do the reactive way is you just walk around inside your house every time it rains. And then you see right where it's leaking.
Now, that's the non-Rosie certified method. Although it's probably the more often used method.
That's when we get calls is when it leaks for some reason.
Yeah.
Not when the tile breaks.
So the tile can break. And I think people are surprised to find out how much of a tile roof, Tyler, is nailed down.
10 to 15, maybe 20%, depending on how your roof is set up.
It's really the outside edges and the barge rafter areas.
Yeah, picture frame. Anything that's facing a wind uplift is required to be nailed down 3 rows in. So that's the bottom side, the top side, the edge side, the eave, rake, ridge, hips.
All the rest of those tile are just sleeping in place. And I don't think most homeowners realize that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little more complicated than that. You got boards that are nailed down. There's a lip on the tile that hooks onto it. And that's why you don't see a whole lot of these tile falling off roofs because, you know, they're 10 pounds a piece. They're hooked on there. But, yeah, you don't really need them to be nailed unless you're dealing with hurricanes like down in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't generally have to deal with that kind of work. So visually check just for cracked tile. That's your number one indication. Number two, watch closely for little water stains on your ceiling areas. What else could a homeowner expect to try and do themselves over the course of May? When to alert Tyler?
Well, without trying to scare people, I have had people call me that say, hey, I just got off my roof or I broke my back. I need you to come fix my roof because I couldn't finish the job. And yes, it's only happened once or twice, but I just really don't want people to hurt themselves falling off ladders. You get up there, if you don't know where to step on the tile, you can easily break them.
I know all those places.
Yeah. I'm sure you found them by experience.
You know, and then you get up there with the roofer and he dances across them like he's walking on water. Man, I get out there and I just think about stepping on that tile. It cracks before my boot even hits the tile.
Yes, sir. It is difficult to walk on tile without breaking it. But that's why we recommend at least once a year have somebody out on your roof you figure you're probably going to have one or two broken tile every year at least. Sometimes more, sometimes less. It just depends.
Palm fronds are a big violator of that, aren't they? The palm trees fronds. right up against the house.
Yeah, mesquite trees, painters, the guys that put your Christmas lights on, the Cox guy who's putting something down. I mean, anybody that gets up there, the neighborhood kids getting up there retrieving basketballs baseballs. I mean, there's any number of reasons. Like we'd mentioned earlier, just expansion, contraction. You go out and look at a piece of concrete in your driveway and it's going to crack. Even if you're only seeing the expansion joints, it's still cracking down those joints. And that's concrete just cracks.
So establish a relationship with a roofer you trust and just see what they offer in the way of an annual inspection. And is there a time of year that would be better than another to maybe have that inspection done?
If you're doing those inspections constantly, not really.
Good point.
As long as you're on top of it, if you're worried about the roof, then I would say either before monsoons or before the winter raining season, just to make sure. But if you're worried about it and you haven't had a roofer up there for 5 or 6 or 7 years, you've probably got at least some broken tile and possibly some exposed underlayment that may or may not be showing damage inside your house.
Now, what do you do as a roofer? You go up to a house and there's one tile right in the middle of the field, right in the middle of this huge gable end. And it's broken, and you can tell that underlayment right there in the middle is bad. What options does that leave you?
Well, at that point, you're kind of behind the curve. I mean, if that underlayment shot, that means the tile's been broken for, what, 2, 3, 4 years?
Yeah.
Now you got to pull off 20, 30 to 100 tile, depending on how far the damage of the paper's gone, and replace the paper, put it all back together, and then definitely replace that one tile that's been broken.
And when you're doing a refelt of a tile roof, generally speaking, how many tile will you think you can save?
On a concrete tile roof, 90%.
90, yeah.
Depending on, I mean, even more. You don't break a whole lot of them. Concrete inherently gets stronger every year.
Yeah.
So you have 30, 40-year-old tile is going to be a lot stronger than the tile that we are going to put up there, brand new tile. It's going to get harder eventually, but new fresh concrete is not as strong as 40-year-old concrete.
Well, I think absolutely one of the takeaways I want our Arizona homeowners to take away today from Tyler Johnson of Johnson Roofing is when you do have to refelt underneath your existing tile roof, that's the place to spend just a little bit extra money and essentially double the life of the roof you're putting back on. Get the right underlayment down. That's not the place to shortchange the project because you're only shortchanging yourself. Here with Tyler Johnson of Johnson Roofing, Rosie certified for the past about year, but been in business since 2004. We appreciate him joining us here at Rosie on the House. We'll be back and wrap things up. Oops, right after that. This. How you like that, Gary, huh?
Hey.
Yeah, you want more of that?
Yeah.